Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
We've each been given by God one lifetime with limited resources. How you steward those resources is your gift back to God. And today we're going to discover how to steward life in light of eternal priorities. Stay with us next with Dr. Paul Chappell, a new series, Stewarding Life. Truly, life is a gift from God, and each of us has one lifetime to live with limited resources. So here's the question today. Are you spending or are you investing your life? God has given you a life and filled it with resources like time and health and finances and relationships. How you steward those resources will determine whether you successfully fill God's eternal purpose for your life. I'm Kerry Schmidt, and this is Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope you'll join us for every step of this journey, stewarding life. You can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you do, you can listen to recent broadcasts, including all of the broadcasts for this series, Stewarding Life. And be sure to take a look at Dr. Chappell's new book that goes along with this series. It's entitled Stewarding Life. It's a couple hundred pages hardback, and it encapsulates all the great truths we're studying in one hardback book. You can find information about all of these resources at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to discover how to steward our trials. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's Paul Chappell.
And I went to the doctors and I said, what is going on? And I just didn't feel right. It felt dizzy and tired. And they said, you know what? You need to take some time of rest. You need to take some time of rest. And I took that as some time with the Lord as well. And I began to read various books and read through the Bible and spent a lot of time trying to understand some things. And I'm telling you, I was so tired. I felt so unstable. I could not preach a message, much less give the announcements. I could not answer a phone call, much less try to train a staff member or try to counsel a marriage. I just didn't have the strength to get it done. And one day as I was praying and feeling the weakness that had come over me, I began to meditate on this verse number 9. And I began to meditate on the fact that my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I began to think about that. Lord, you said that when I am weak, then you can be strong through me. And so I took some time that day and I began to journal out some of the things the Lord was telling me. And I wrote down this phrase. I simply said, I will embrace my weakness that I may glory in my Christ. I will embrace my weakness that I may glory in my Christ. And I said, Lord, I want you to do the work in my heart. And if I have to be weak for these weeks or for however long for you to be strong through me, then I'm going to embrace this moment and I'm going to seek you in this moment. I remember when I came back to preach on Palm Sunday this past April. Oh, how I wanted to be here with our church family for the Easter season. I came back on that Palm Sunday to preach, and some of the pastors and counselors I spoke to a few days prior, they said to me, now, Pastor Chappell, if you can't preach all three messages, then you have a couple of the associates ready to come in and step behind you and maybe do a sermon or two if you can't get through all of them. And I appreciated that counsel, and I remember preaching sermon number 1. And then sermon number 2, and then sermon number 3. And I went home that night and sat down in a chair at home. I said, Lord, I don't know how it happened today, but I know you did it today. I know it was by your power today. And I sense, God, that you are using me today. And I'm so thankful to realize anew and afresh that God is able. And every day that when we have trials, then we're going to have a matching grace. And every day when we have a challenge, then we're going to have a matching grace. You see, the worst thing that could happen to us in our life is that we never had a trial or we never had a setback, because we would never know how desperately we really need God in the first place. The worst thing that could happen to us, and God gives us just enough difficulty to bring us back to Him and to give us the grace to meet those difficulties. And God says, don't worry about tomorrow. He says, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. And see, God says, I'm going to give you just enough trial and then give you just enough grace so that instead of being knocked completely over, when you stand up, you're going to be stronger than ever. You're going to be strengthened by the grace of God. And then secondly, you're going to be purified by the grace of God. You're going to be purified by the grace of God. Now, the Bible says something very important in this text, and I want you to see it with me in verse number 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The word perfect speaks of maturity. It speaks of a filling and a purifying work of God. And Job would testify that he experienced this. In Job 23 and verse 10, it says, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And God deals with us in the same way that he dealt with Job, always for his benefit and for his honor. And he says, listen, I'm going to give you stability. You're going to be stronger because of my grace, and you're going to be more pure because of the trial that you've been through. You're going to be more mature in your life. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all of us have that impurity in our life. And just like the gold needs to have the impurity burned away, and the silver needs to have the dross burned away, God allows trials so that our sin and so that our pride will be burned away, and so that we will be like a vessel ready for God to use. And so God says, I don't bring the trial into your life to utterly destroy you. I don't bring the trial in your life so that you're an unstable creature all of your days, but I bring the trial into your life so that by my grace, you'll stand back again, but not in your strength this time, but in my strength. God says, I'm going to bring the trial so that you'll have humility. And if you steward it right, you're going to have stability. And finally, if you steward this right, you're going to have ability from God. You're going to have ability to do the work that God has called you to do. Now look at verse 9 again. It says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Did you see that part? Let's read that part together. The second half of verse number 9. Ready, begin. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power... Now, the word power there is that Greek word dunamis, which means the strength of God, the ability of God. And Paul said, I want that to rest upon me. I want his power to rest upon me. And I want to tell you something, my friend. You might say, well, I don't feel like God can use me. I've been through a divorce. I've been through a foreclosure. I've had past problems of sin. I just don't know that God can use me. Please understand something. God chooses defeated people to do dominant things for him. God says, when you are weak, then I can be strong through you. And God says, I want to take you at your defeated moment and at your tired moment and your hurting moment and teach you what I can only teach you then, so that I can use you in a more powerful way in the future. I think about Jonah in that case and how Jonah was filled with pride. He wouldn't listen to God. He wouldn't do what God wanted him to do. And so God took him to Whale Belly University. And God said, Jonah, you got a lot to learn, boy. And God let Jonah just float around in the whale's belly. And guess what? Jonah got right with God. And he was a hard task, but finally he got right with God. And I just want you to understand, it was good for Jonah to spend time in the whale's belly. And God said, I'm going to take this difficult moment and let you experience this before you have the most dominant revival in world history. I want you to see that I have a plan in this. James Cash Penny was a man back in the 1920s, boy, the roaring 20s. He was making money hand over fist, and he was just involved in so many business deals and just excited about every bit of it. But in 1929, they weren't talking about recession or double dip recession or oil prices so much. They were dealing suddenly with the Great Depression. And suddenly, this highly successful man owed people money all over the country. James Cash Penny was so filled with stress and anxiety and difficulty, he admitted himself into a hospital. His body was racked with shingles. He didn't know what to do. He thought he'd get better, but he kept having paralysis in parts of his body. He kept feeling as though he would die. The shingles wouldn't go away. And after several weeks in the hospital, he just barely could get up in bed one night, enough strength to write his wife a farewell letter and to write his daughter a farewell letter. He was certain that he would die that night. James Cash Penny, a few hours later, saw the sun coming through the window and realized he'd made it through another night. And a few moments later, he heard from the chapel down the hallway, someone was singing in the hospital chapel a song that he had heard as a little boy in church. And the song said, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you." And he heard those words, "God will take care of you." And he found himself getting some help to go down to the little chapel. And he knelt there at a pew and he began to pray to God. And he said, "God, if you'll take care of me, then I'm going to cast my burdens on you, my health burdens, my concerns, my bills. Lord, I can't do it without you." James Cash Penny later said that God's Spirit dealt with him and comforted him and strengthened him. And a few days later, he was out of the hospital. And when he finally died at age 96, there were 1,966 J.C. Penney stores all over America. God had chosen a defeated Baptist man to do a dominant work for him, to support hundreds of missionaries and build many churches. But God had to work in his heart first. There's a man by the name of Lewis Banks who told the story of a Christian friend. Mr. Banks said, "I went to see my friend at the hospital. The doctors had diagnosed that he had cancer of the tongue. And my friend had sung so many solos in our church." And Mr. Banks told the story about his friend just being prepared for surgery. On his way to the surgery room, he said to the surgeon, "Will I ever sing again?" The surgeon said, "I'm sorry to say, you'll never be able to sing again, and you'll have to learn how to try to talk and communicate, perhaps with your hands even." He said, "Oh, but I've had so many times, so many good times singing for my Lord and singing in church." Mr. Albert said that he heard his friend say to the doctor, "Well, before we go into the room, could I sing just one last song?" The doctor and Mr. Banks, Albert Banks, and some of the nurses were there, and that man picked himself up on that hospital bed and he sang the words of Isaac Watts' hymn, "I'll praise my Maker while I have breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall never be past, while life and thought and being last, or immortality endures." You see, how could a man have the ability and the power just before surgery, just before losing his tongue, to sing praise to God? It was the power of Christ in him. It was God at work in his life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." That word "able" in that verse once again is the word dynamite. God will give you the ability to bear it. Oh, you see, God says, "I'll give you ability through my power." And finally, God will give you ability through his precepts or through his word. Look at what it says in verse 10. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Someone says, "Paul, how can you say you're going to take pleasure in all of this? A runny eye disease, being stoned by the Jews that followed you. How can you see pleasure in this? And it was all because of the promise of Jesus in verse 9. He said, my Lord has promised me strength. My Lord has promised me stability. My Lord has promised me humility. My Lord has promised me ability. Therefore, I'm going to glory in my God. You see, James 1 and verse 3 in your notes says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Let me tell you quickly three ways that you can follow God with a heart of trust. Three ways that you can grow in patience. Number one, trust his ways. Trust his ways. He said that we're to have patience and we're to trust in him. Psalm 31 and verse 15, the Bible says, my times are in thy hand. Would you say that with me? My times are in thy hand. Lord, my life is in your hands. My times are in your hand. One author said it this way, Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. Just simply trust the Lord with all of your heart. Secondly, not only do we trust his ways, but we must seek his wisdom. Seek his wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, show me what you want me to learn in this trial. Lord, show me what verses I need to add to my repertoire. Show me what you want me to know in this time. Dr. Richard Swenson wrote in a book called Margin, at times it appears as if the cumulative weight of suffering and sorrow will sink the entire world. People hurt, families hurt, friendships hurt, churches hurt, communities hurt, nations hurt. What should we do about all this pain? First, let's thank God for it. Anything that redirects us to Him is of benefit. You see, the trial that you're experiencing now may be an opportunity to get closer to God and to learn more about God. Trust in Him and then seek His wisdom. There was a missionary couple that had labored in Africa, and they had been there for many years, and many churches in the States had supported them prayerfully and financially. And so they thought that they would come to a conference back in the States and they would bring some of the African converts with them. They brought several men from Africa and oh, they were a blessing. All the churches enjoyed meeting these men that had been saved through the missionaries. And the missionaries were a little concerned that the men might get lost during the afternoon break. They were in a large metropolitan area. So the missionaries said, here's the deal, guys. When you take your break, if you want to walk downtown, that's okay. But here's a phone number. And if you get lost, then you call us and we'll come help you in any way that we can. Well, the missionary wife gave the phone number to the men and they were off. But it was about an hour later that her phone rang at the church where they were. And one of the men said, I am lost. And the missionary wife said, all right, here's what I want you to do. Lay down the phone, go out to the street corner, find the names on the street signs out there, find the names, and then come back and tell me where you're at and I'll come and get you. Well, in a few minutes, the man came back to the phone and he said, I found it. He said, I'm at the corner of walk and don't walk. Now, what I have found in my life when I get to those moments of trials and heaviness, I find that I'm at the corner of walk and don't walk. I don't know what to do sometimes. I don't know where to go. I don't know which way to turn. And that's why I need God's help. And if you don't know whether to go this way or this way, then you want to look this way. And you want to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've never been at this place. I've never been in a hospital like this. I've never been without housing. I've never been fired from a job. Lord, I want to seek you. I want your word to guide me. Trust in his ways. Trust in his wisdom. And then let me say thirdly, rest in his love. Just rest in God's love for you. How many of you believe today that God is love? And he loves you all the time. One of the things that I wrote in my journal several months back was a quote from Augustine, one of the early church fathers. And it meant so much to me, and I framed it and placed it in my home. And it says this, Lord, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Lord, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And sometimes we have to just stop and rest in our Father's love, no matter how difficult, no matter how heavy, and just know that God loves us. Romans 5:3 says it this way, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." My friend, our God is a good God, and the peace of God has at its foundation the simple fact that God does all things well. Sometimes when the trials of life come, all we see is the trial. And in our pride, all we feel is that it's just going to get worse. And we get to that place where we feel like, you know, I've been going to church, I've been tithing, and all God gave me was unemployment. All He gave me was more difficulty. But I want you to look past that for just a moment and realize, lest I should be exalted above measure, God loves you so much. He wasn't trying to mess you up. He wasn't trying to make life harder. God said, "I was trying to give you the gift of humility. I was trying to make you like gold." Because God says, "You're much more than where you work or where you live. I see your heart. And I was trying to help you to be a more humble person. I had something great in store for you. Don't throw your trial away in disgust, but turn to me in faith and let me help you to be a more humble man, a more humble woman." Someone says, "But Pastor Chapel, I just don't think it was fair that God brought that sickness and that trial into my life. I mean, I don't think it was fair that my family fell apart like that. And I just felt as though there was no way that I could go on." And some of you today feel like the smallest little feather could knock you over. God says, "I didn't bring this into your life to destroy you. I brought this into your life to give you stability, to show you that my grace is sufficient, and that in your weakness, I can make you strong, and I can make you stable if you'll allow my grace to permeate your life." Someone says, "But Pastor, it just wasn't fair when we lost our home and others are being so blessed. And it just wasn't fair when I lost my voice and I couldn't sing and when I had these trials." And God said, "Hey, I didn't do that to put you out of the race. I did that so that you would learn of my ability. So that the next time you preach a sermon or make a great sales presentation or the next time you have a great contract or the next time when I give you that new house next time, you're going to know it wasn't by your ability and it wasn't by your reasoning and it wasn't by your opportunity, but it was by my ability that that happened." And the next time God says, it's going to be completely different. Hey, don't throw the trial away in disgust, but receive your trial and steward your trial and know that God is always working in the trial. He says, "I want to give you humility and I want to give you stability and I want to give you ability that you know nothing about. I want to so anoint and bless your life that you'll know it was me that did the work in your life." And can I tell you this morning? Sometimes the tough times come into our lives because God Almighty wants to help someone who isn't truly saved. Someone that's never trusted His Son to realize you can't get to heaven on your own. You can't go to heaven because you think you're so good. Sometimes it takes a trial in our marriage or family to help us to realize I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need to trust Christ. And the Bible says there's none other name. There's no other way that we can be saved except through Jesus. And a proud man will never receive that. But someone who's had enough trials realizes I need the Lord. Hey, why did God bring the trial? Why did God allow Satan to buffet you? I can guarantee you this, He's got a great purpose and He's got enough power to get you through. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you today for teaching us and showing us your purpose even in the tough times of life. And Father, I pray that you would minister to every heart here today and strengthen every Christian. And I pray that we would not waste this sermon, that we would not waste this time. Please, Lord, help us to apply this truth.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're presently studying a series entitled Stewarding Life. You can find out more about this series and hear recent broadcasts when you visit dailyintheword.org. Be sure to also consider subscribing to our daily devotional and the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word, take it with you on your computer or phone, and listen to it at your convenience. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.